Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. This past week, very familiar verse, one that I probably learned fairly young, came to mind, and I was blessed to think of it again, and would like to turn there. Proverbs chapter 3. You will recognize verses 5 and 6, I'm sure. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I find it easy to say those and to say that I actually live there. But as I was studying and looking, I just realized that there is so much depth to those two verses that I think I so often want to live there, but in reality, trusting the Lord sounds good, and even we know it to be right, but how does it become a reality for you and I? I'd like to read 1 through 10, and then I'll be going down through that and making comments about each of the verses, basically. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So I was looking at this. The proverb writer is giving instruction. Now, I read Proverbs differently than I would like something in the New Testament. I believe there is truth here, but it is not always a universal truth. And so as we go through this, I want you to be discerning with me what is universal truth and what is maybe a general principle or a general rule. I think you and I would agree that verse 1 is basically a universal principle. We are not to forget God's laws. We are to obey his commandments. That reminds me of what we read in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, where the Hebrew writer is talking to the descendants of Israel and says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So we see that there is consistency here with what the proverb writer is writing and what Hebrews tells us, that God's law not only is something that we should understand and follow, but it actually should be in our hearts. And God says he will do that when we invite him in as being our God, that he will put my laws into their mind and write them in our hearts. So we are to take seriously what God says. And we're not only to take it seriously, but it should be something very close to us. In fact, right within our hearts, the very, very core of our beings. Verse 2 then says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Universal truth? Probably not. But a general rule, a general principle, yes. For we know godly people, we know people who have been following God, who have not experienced long life. I believe it is a general principle. because those who the tendency is, I guess we could say, for those who follow God and who abide by his principles, that these will be their experience. But one thing we do know, and I would say this is universal, is those who know God have peace. And that is one that we can always hang on to, and I think can be a universal experience. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Mercy and truth. These two in harmony are a beautiful thing. We need both. But it is easy as humans for us to err on one side or the other. It is difficult to continue to constantly live, I'm going to say, in the tension of keeping both in perspective. They should be with us at all times. It says we're to bind them about our neck, we're to write them on the table of our heart. That idea, to me, is saying mercy and truth should be our experience every day. It reminded me of what it says about Jesus, what John wrote about Jesus in John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And then this small phrase, full of grace and truth. Now there it says grace instead of mercy. But I believe that we understand basically the concept is the same. So Jesus was, I'm going to say, the embodiment of mercy and truth, or grace and truth. So as little Christ, we are called to do the same, to embrace both, and to live in the tension of both, so that when others see us, they see this person is following Jesus. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I believe we are like Christ when we live out these two, mercy and truth. And we will, as a general rule, find favor and good understanding with God and man. It says about Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So there is that, I believe, as we live as Christ lived, we will be in favor with God for sure, and with man at most times. Now we realize that Jesus did not, his life did not end with being in favor with man. But we should take heart, because Jesus is our perfect example, and we can also expect some of that from man. Moving on to verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. I would like to say that the assumption that this verse gives is that God is trustworthy. But I think you all would agree with me that we only trust things that we have confidence in. Now, there are times that we do something that maybe we didn't think ahead, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a dangerous situation. But most times we, maybe even subconsciously, when we project, look at a risk, we assess, can I trust this thing? Or can I trust that person? I believe that is what the proverb writer is saying. He is saying that in order to trust in the Lord, you have to, there is a basic truth here. You have to believe that he's trustworthy. Because it is just natural for us to only trust things that we believe are trustworthy. And I believe that is where the challenge is of this verse. We can say it very easily. Well, you need to trust the Lord. But there's a more basic foundational question that we need to answer, and is that are you believing that God is trustworthy? Because if you do, you will trust him. I ask the question, why would we lean on our own understanding? I would like to quote something that Adam Clark says, and that really struck a chord with me, and I believe it answers some of that question. Why would we lean on our understanding? Adam Clark says, and I quote, "The grand sin of the human race is their continual endeavor to live independently of God." I believe that is why we would lean on our understanding, because there is this tendency for us to think that we have the answers and to constantly be pulling away from God and saying, "I can do this." Now, we've tried and we've failed. At least I have. But that somehow isn't always the cure to us just trusting in him and not leaning on understanding. Then verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Trust is huge in us being able to acknowledge him in all our ways. Here again, it comes back to, is God, in our hearts, is God trustworthy? If he is, then I will in all my ways acknowledge him. Another translation would say, he will make our paths straight. I don't believe this means that we have a smooth path, but he shows us the way and he makes our paths straight. Verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil." I don't know how it strikes you, but this one hits me pretty well, right between the eyes. We may claim to acknowledge God, but in our hearts, we are the wise ones. And that is why we need to come to the end of ourselves and recognize that we don't have the answers, and we recognize that God is trustworthy. We trust him. And I believe that the last part of the verse is key. We are to fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as it would say elsewhere in Proverbs. Verse 8, "It shall be health to the navel and marrow to thy bones." I would say, again, a general rule. Our confidence in oneself does not lead to rest in my heart. Peace comes from knowing and trusting that God is in control. I was struck with the second verse of the second song. "Lo, at his feet lay thy burden of carefulness. High on his heart he will bear it for thee. Comfort thy sorrows and answer thy prayerfulness, guiding thy steps as may best be for thee." That speaks to me of a person who is laying things at God's feet and saying, "You are in control." And the peace that that brings, I believe, contributes to our physical health, which I think is what verse 8 is saying. "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." So I believe it is as we experience God's peace that we can then have healthy physical lives as well. Because if we are continually anxious and tense, it doesn't take even a doctor to know that inputs adrenaline into our system, which over the long run is not healthy for us physically. So I believe there's a principle here that if we rest in God and we find the peace that he brings from the anxiousness, the tensions of life, then it is a general principle that we will experience better physical health. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Here again, I'm going to say a general principle, not a promise of God. There are blessings we experience when we follow God's principles. I think that is a universal truth. God's principles, if they are followed, even by ungodly people, experience the blessing that comes from that because they are applying a godly principle. This past week, we ate at Chick-fil-A. I don't know how many of you know Chick-fil-A. The owner is very has been very clear that he is a Christian, and they do not open their restaurants on Sunday. I read recently that they have as good a sales or better than other fast food restaurants, even though they are closed one day of the week. Now, we could say a blessing of God, possibly. We could also say he's following biblical principles, and we believe that there is a blessing in that. I would just say when we are blessed physically, it is not because of who we are, but because of who he is. I think that's easy to get confused. When we experience blessing, we somehow assume it's because of something we have done. Now, yes, we may follow biblical principles. That is something we do. But let's remember, when a blessing comes, it is not because of who we are, but because of who he is. We'd just like to close with this challenge. We say we trust in God, but I would like to take us back to the more foundational question. In your heart, do you find God to be trustworthy? If not, I believe that's where the wrestling should be. Can I trust God? And we know the right answer, but I trust that in your heart you will come to the place where you say, yes, God, I believe that you are trustworthy. When that happens, I believe we will be able to then say, I trust in the Lord, and we won't lean on our understanding. Let's kneel and pray. Our gracious Father, we come to you this morning grateful to you for your goodness, your love. Lord, thank you for the words of the proverb. And God, we want to hold your law close to our hearts. We want to obey your commandments. We want to trust you, Lord. But we realize, Lord, there's a basic answer that we need to give to the question, do we trust you before we feel like we can trust you? And so I pray that this morning our experience here of worship and of reading and studying your word, that we would be able to, that our hearts would be able to say, yes, God, you are trustworthy. I put my trust in you. Pray this through Christ. Amen.